New science stories are out, looking at diamond fragments from outer space, to the bacteria of bathtubs, all the way through to robots that can do our menial tasks. And I mean really menial. Joining us to discuss these and other stories is Ben Lewis, producer and editor for Australia's Science Channel. Good morning, Ben.
Hello!
So first off, tell us about space diamonds.
Yeah, so back in 2008, about 10 years ago, some astronomers spotted an asteroid out in space, and they watched it as it came down to Earth. So they actually saw it come in from space, enter our atmosphere, saw it go through the atmosphere and explode. They managed to track it all the way to where it landed. So they sent some people out to actually collect it. They've actually found it. They've got it. And it's the first time, and I think still the only time, that someone's actually been able to watch something come from space, or watch an asteroid come from space and then hold it in their hands afterwards. But that's only the third coolest thing about this asteroid. So when they looked at it, they actually found that all through this asteroid are all these flecks of diamond. So it's actually, like diamond-impregnated asteroid, which is the second coolest thing.
That's when the science team started fighting amongst each other.
Yeah, exactly.
They all turned on each other.
Yeah. Take it down to the Lake Ukashis or something like that and try to cash it in. The fact that it's got flecks of diamond all through it is the second coolest thing. The most cool thing about this asteroid they've actually just released this week, those diamonds, kind of like little space vaults. So locked inside that diamond are chemicals and like just very, very small impurities that came from wherever this asteroid first formed. And they've done some analysis on these impurities and analysis on these diamonds, and they've found that this asteroid that they're holding in their hands came from a planet in our solar system that doesn't exist anymore.
Wow. So are these asteroids fragments of that planet?
So probably, right back at the very, very start of our solar system, there was actually just swarms of planets through our solar system that don't exist anymore. Now we've got the ones that we all know, Mars, Earth, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm talking about, 4.5 billion years ago, there are a whole lot more. They're called protoplanets. They're like the starts of planets. And that's where one of these asteroids actually formed. It was formed right in the very, very middle of one of these protoplanets. And they know that because when you look at the size of the diamond, it's quite a large, relatively speaking, quite a large diamond, which means that it formed under a huge amount of pressure. And that huge amount of pressure would have had to have been in the center of a planet about the size of Mercury, or what's Mercury now. So one of these planets formed, this asteroid formed in the middle of it, and then sometime around about 4.5 billion years ago, that planet broke apart. We don't know why it broke apart, but it broke apart and sort of spat bits out all through the solar system. And one of those bits of protoplanet 10 years ago crashed to Earth, and we can now hold in our own hands.
It almost sounds like the origin of Superman, though.
It is a little bit, actually.
A bit of what I'm wondering. It's like, did you also find this small chunk? No.
Yeah, so
I don't think so.
The impurities were like iron and sulfur, which aren't actually as exciting as krypton would have been, or kryptonite would have been. So no, unfortunately, it probably wasn't the origin of Superman, as cool as that would be. It's absolutely amazing that in their hands, they're holding a piece of a planet that doesn't exist anymore. It existed, 4 billion years ago plus. And by looking at all these little diamonds and the impurities in these diamonds, they can sort of tell the story of our solar system. And I reckon that is absolutely unbelievably amazing.
Now, another science story you've got for us is telling us the science of the rubber duck.
Yes, your rubber ducky might be quite yucky if you've got one at home. I spent all night thinking of that line.
I can tell.
Your little squidgy rubber duck that you might jump into the bath with, you might look at it and you think, it's good fun to play with. It makes sounds and it squirts water. Some scientists in Switzerland have some bad news, unfortunately, because the inside of that rubber ducky might be just this absolute haven of like bacteria and fungi and lots of stuff that you really, really don't want to be sharing space with.
Why does Switzerland have to ruin everything for everyone?
Yeah, but they gave us chocolate. Oh, you know, so they give us chocolate. So, you know, this it's swings and roundabouts. Yeah, so they took like 19 real rubber ducks from real homes that people had used and took them to the lab and then bought some new ones as well and literally had baths with these brand new rubber ducks that they bought. And then at the end of a few months, they cut them open and looked at what was growing inside. And they found that, yeah, inside there was like, for every square centimeter of the inside of their rubber duck, there was up to 75 million bacteria growing. Now, some of these bacteria are perfectly harmless. Others, really, really not so cool. So there's like bacteria that cause respiratory illness, so, you know, breathing problems. There was the bacteria that causes Legionella, which is a quite, you know, potentially quite serious illness that you can get from, you know, contaminated water and things like that. So, yeah, some of the bacteria and fungi growing as well, you really, really don't want to be, you know, getting fungi inside you. That's really going to ruin your day. So, yeah, really, really funky sort of stuff growing on the inside of your rubber ducky. So, you know, you might want to start thinking about whether or not you really want to spend time with that rubber ducky in your bath.
Did this show, like, physically? Could you see mold growing inside it?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's actually, in the research paper, they cut these rubber duckies in half, and, yeah, there's, like, you know, black sludge, essentially, growing on the inside of the rubber duck. That's not so cool. Like, it was really, really disgusting, actually. But, I mean, what really sort of, you know, tap water shouldn't really have these bacteria growing in it. But what happens is because we're washing ourselves, you know, bodily fluids and, you know, other things that come out of our body end up in the water. But then there's also chemicals that sort of get released from the rubber itself. So a lot of the rubber duckies are made out of PVC plastic or PVC rubber. And they sort of release what's called organic chemicals. Now, these aren't like toxic in any way to us, but they kind of act as like food for bacteria and fungi. So, yeah, these are sort of like releasing that, and that provides this nice little, you know, haven for bacteria and fungi to grow. You know, whether or not it's actually dangerous, some of them can be dangerous, but it might also help. You actually develop your immune system as well, might actually strengthen your immune system. So, yeah, we need to do a little bit more research about whether or not this is actually, you know, a dangerous thing for us to be happening and, you know, dangerous thing for us to be around. But, you know, yeah, it's at the moment not necessarily something you really want to be getting on you.
I've just had the great idea for the antibacterial rubber duck.
Oh, I don't mind that.
That's a money-making idea. Yeah.
Well, if you are concerned, like, you can take your rubber duck and just, like, if you're okay with the visual of it, like, boil your rubber duck in a big vat of water. You know, that'll kill all the bacteria and stuff. Yeah, if you can sort of withstand, like, you know, you're okay with the sight of a rubber duck boiling, you know, that might be the best way to clean your rubber ducks.
Ben Lewis from Australia's Science Channel is with us talking about the latest research in the science world. Time for one last quick story, and this one relates to robots and IKEA, which is always two great topics that go well together. What can you tell us?
Yeah, I mean, if you're like me, you hate building IKEA furniture. It's the worst, like the worst bit of that sort of night. You've been down to IKEA, you've had your, you know, your meatballs, you've bought your furniture, you get home, now you have to build it. So some scientists in Singapore have built some robots that will do it for you, which is really, really cool. So basically two robots or two arms, and they have like visual sensors and also tactile sensors. So they can actually sense, you know, by touch as well. And they can sort of see all the different bits. So they can select the right piece. They can put the pieces together with the right amount of force. And they can sort of, you know, do all this and manipulate it really quite quickly and put this a particular chair from IKEA together. And it takes them somewhere between about 8 minutes and 20 minutes to build a chair.
But the cost of the chair is, what, $15? And the cost of the robot arms is
probably tens of thousands. Okay, yeah, you good point. You've spotted a flaw in that, haven't you? But, yeah, it's actually really, really cool because, yeah, at the moment, there's a fair bit of coding that needs to go into, you know, getting these robots to sort of work together and, you know, work as the perfect team. But they're sort of wanting to develop more and more artificial intelligence into these robots so that they can literally just give it some pieces and they'll go off and build it themselves. And most of the way there already, like I said, they can sort of, you know, see the pieces, work out what needs to go together, and they can move around each other and build it all up and put it all together. But yeah, you know, hopefully sometime pretty soon, IKEA might have a robot that can build your furniture for you, which I reckon is pretty darn cool.
It is pretty nice. Thank you very much for joining us, Ben.